always good to come in and feel almost a tremor that needs to be watered, if you will. Pastor asked me to teach, so I've got something that I've been studying myself for a while, and he's already touched on it. So I'm going to ask you to get some pen, pencil, paper, iPad, phone, whatever you have, and I want us to look at it.
Hallelujah.
If I can for a few minutes, and I don't have a scripture to start with, we're just going to dive right in. I will need some help from you. But I want to talk tonight, teach on being a people of depth. There's something about a deeper relationship with God that I believe we can all have. A truly deeper walk with God. Pastor touched on it Sunday, and it troubled me because there is so much superficiality in the world that it contaminates us. It affects us. It impacts us. See, the problem is this, is you, a lot of people think that coming to church on a Sunday and a Wednesday and a Monday, that's going to get you to heaven. But it's not. It's not. You can come to church when you're supposed to be here and still go to hell. Satan's got a bus that comes by the church every week. And so it's not just in coming to church. And it's not just in dancing, because you can be down here dancing your little feet off and be thinking about the fornication you've committed or going to commit. You can be clapping your hands and at the same time be winking at somebody across the church. You can be running the aisles and at the same time thinking about how you're going to outrun some bills. So all the little things that we do, that we consider our due diligence and our part, is really not that. And so I believe that God is looking for more. Looking for a people of depth, who's looking for a deeper relationship with us. I imagine, if I can, that God is looking for someone who will lay themselves down on an altar, prostrate before Him, and say, God, You want it all, I give it all. That's willing to surrender everything, all of our secret hidden places, all of our pride, all of our selfishness, everything, and turn it over to God and say, here you go. I believe from my studying that a deeper walk with God, a deeper relationship, leads to a greater affection. And a greater affection leads to a greater mutual a two-way confidence. And so the question I ask myself, and we should ask ourselves tonight, is, can God trust me? Can God trust me? If you're wanting to run the aisles and everything else, we're teaching, so it's probably not going to happen. Early on, in my ripe old age of 36, early on, you, Pastor, you tend to preach for the show. You tend to preach for the response. But tonight, I want to teach so that we respond to God in a proper manner. I want to look at Enoch. Scripture says that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. That's Genesis 5 and 24. The original Hebrew meaning here for walk implies that Enoch went to and fro with God. continually conversing with Him and growing closer to Him every single day. This is just Genesis chapter 5, but I believe that we see here a new type of believer that hadn't been seen of. Because even Adam and Eve didn't have this kind of relationship. They could have, but they missed it. They missed it. And so we learn that he walked arm in arm with God every day, that the Lord was his very life. So much so that at the end of his life, he did not taste death, but he was translated out of life. That would be awesome. To be so close to God. Such a deep relationship with God. That you're closer to heaven than you are to the world. And God picks you up and says, come on home with me. You already belong. Hebrews 11 and 5 says of Enoch, before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Can you put up, Brother Eric, Hebrews 11, 5 and 6? And so I asked myself, what was it about Enoch that pleased God so much? And I found that because of the relationship that he had, because of his walk with God, he had the kind of faith that God loved. And see, here's the thing. You have it. So by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now look at verse 6. Verse 6 we hear about, we read about, we shout about it all the time. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We only read verse 6. We get caught up with verse 6. But go back to verse 5. Rarely do we ever read verse 5 and 6 contiguously together. And that's how they were intended. Because verse 6 is all about verse 5. Verse 6 talks about, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. We read at the end of verse 5 that Enoch pleased God. What was it? It was a relationship so deep that created a faith so great that God could not ignore him, could not deny him, could not leave. So true faith pleases God. The two are synonymous. You can't have faith unless you have true, real faith. Don't get me wrong. Because people believe God for this and that, and there's nothing wrong with that. But Scripture talks about faith that can move mountains. That's the kind of faith that Enoch had. His faith was so deep. The two are synonymous. You cannot have such a great faith if you do not have such a deep relationship. And if you have the deep relationship, then that will be death. God is one who recompenses for us. And he rewards his diligence. So let me ask you this, and this may not be a popular topic for you tonight, but it is the truth. It is the word. How do we gain such a wealth? How do we become people of death? How do we have such a deep relationship with God? How do we gain it? How do we maintain it? How do we keep it? How do we cultivate it? How do we create it? What do I have to do? And so, number one, you got to get in the Word. You got to get in the Word. pastor preached Sunday about the Word and it being that sword that cleaves to your hand, inseparable. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of the Lord. If you have no Word, you have no faith. You have no faith, you have no relationship. You have no hearing. Let he that hath an ear hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So the Word, the Word, the Word. Enoch, granted, yeah, he lived a long time ago. No, he didn't have Instagram to spend hours on in there. He didn't have Twitter followers, and he didn't have internet. There's a lot of things he did not have. But don't mistake or misunderstand that there were things of his day that could occupy his time. The greatest tool of the enemy right now is us being preoccupied by things that are meaningless, that have no weight or bearing on eternity. But yet they will rob us of valuable time, minutes, seconds, days, weeks, months, years, and put us in hell. Well, no, Brother Lowry, Instagram can't send you to hell. Yes, it can, if you neglect the Word. You want to spend... I'm not your pastor. But... you want to spend hours on end on something. How is that balancing out with everything else? You can't have a deep relationship if you spend 5 minutes reading part of a daily walk devotional on your cell phone and then 3 hours favoriting other people's pictures of McDonald's and Haribo's and boats. It's a personal conviction for me, Pastor, so that's why I don't have it, because I know me. I know that I would sit down and begin looking at, well, what did this person or that person have to post today? And the next thing I know, I've been sitting there 3 hours and wondering what happened to the time. And then, oh, I'm so busy, I can't pray. I can't read the Word. Yeah. And so the enemy, he doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't have to create anything new. He doesn't have to manufacture anything. He just has to put devices and things of today into our hands or plant them into our lives, and we take care of the rest. Fill in the blank. There's nothing wrong with hunting, fishing. All of those things are good. I'm trying to get Ethan involved in that stuff. But if it consumes you, then... you are a surface Christian, shallow at best, and not going to make heaven. So read the Word. Number two is prayer. Now, I believe our deeper walk, our deeper relationship starts with a prayer like we had Monday night, where you can tarry in the Holy Ghost. So prayer, prayer, prayer. Enoch talked with God every day, walked with God every day. Yeah, you have your 30 minutes, 45 minutes, hour, whatever, on your face before God. But what about when you're walking into the break room? It doesn't hurt to say, you know what, thank you, Lord, for this lunch today. You know what, God, I'm about to walk into this crazy meeting, and I need some instruction. It's a conversation, a dialogue that goes on all day long. So pray. Number three, fasting. Fasting.
Everybody's favorite.
But here's the thing. If you want a deeper relationship with God, if you want to be a person of depth, a better walk, a greater walk, a deeper walk with God, then nobody has to ask you to fast. Pastor doesn't have to mandate a fast. You fast because you want to. You fast because you need to. Fasting does nothing for God. It's everything. you're not sensitive, if you can't hear, if you're not tapped in, plugged in, tuned in, whatever the case, fasting will clear everything else out and open that pipeline of communication. Number four, meditation. Meditation. Meditation is to the soul what digestion is to the body. You hear the word, but do you digest? Do you meditate on it? Scripture talks about meditating day and night. You can take a bite of a Big Mac and then spit it back out. It may have tasted good for the 3 seconds it was in your mouth, but it does your body no good because it doesn't pass through digestion. I'm afraid we talk too much. God, I believe God wants to talk to us in times of prayer and supplication, times of meditation, but we don't know how to shut up. We don't know how to be quiet. When's the last time we laid ourselves out before God and said, God, I'm just going to shut up. I need to hear. I need an answer. I need a solution. I need direction. Number five, submission. If you are not submitted, you can pull it up in the scripture. Submission. If you don't submit, you're not going to heaven. The two things we have to account for is submission and obedience. Number six is obedience. So if we do not submit and we do not obey, forget having a deeper relationship with God, because you can't even submit or obey the man of God. So, through submission and obedience, we have a conduit to a greater relationship with God. Number seven, godly association. Can you pull up Hebrews 10 and 25, please, for me, brother? Hebrews 10 and 25. And, Brother Brandon, will you read it for us, sir? I gave you that on the spot. Hebrews 10, 25. Do this. Brother Chuck, can you get Proverbs 27, 17? And Brother Roll, Hebrews. Let's do this. Who did I give 10 and 25? 24. Go ahead, please. Amen. So, number seven is godly association. Godly association. If you want a deeper relationship, you cannot be disconnected from the body. If you want a deeper relationship, a deeper walk with God, you cannot be a one-man rodeo. You've got to be here to believe you. Now, Bishop, I remember him saying once that if you miss, he probably said it a couple times, to miss church continuously in these things, the church, the body, will move on without you, will move beyond you. And it's like a kid who's missed school. You're forever playing catch up and you never get caught up. And it's devastating. Proverbs 27:17. There you go. So, godly association allows us to come together to sharpen one another, because we need it. A week will dull you. A couple days in between services, and for some it may be the hardest 2 or 3 days, for others may not. We all have our ups and our downs, our high times, our low times. And it's coming together as brothers and sisters where we get a chance to let iron sharpened. So Enoch was the first man to uncover the true delight of walking with God. He found something even Adam didn't experience. He pressed into God until he learned how to commune with God through every facet of life. And those seven things are what I've found and what I've given you. To find that dimension of relationship certainly required an intense spiritual pursuit. Pursuit. So what are we pursuing? What is occupying our mind, our eyes, our ears, our hands, our thoughts? Are we pursuing God like a lover? Pursuit. So he had an intention, spiritual pursuit, and then when he found it, the Lord made a graphic statement by catching him up. So I believe that God, sincerely, God wants to walk with us before he can work with us. We don't have a relationship. If you don't walk with God daily, don't expect him to work through something he doesn't walk through. Because there's no relationship. There's no connection. There's no link. There's no bond. There's no commitment. So God, I believe, will wait to act until he finds the right man or until he finds the right woman through whom he can work. To put it bluntly, he works with his friends. That's why Abraham was called the friend of God. And we're going to talk about Abraham in just a minute. But I believe God works with his friends. If God is not working with you, Facebook, he may have unfriended you. And you have to ask yourself, why? Why is God not working in my life? Why is God not doing this for me? Have you been a friend to God? What kind of relationship do you have with him? So when God has a friend, divine activity accelerates. You want divine intervention in your life? Go deeper. You want divine intervention for God to act on your behalf? Go deeper. Pursue him. When God has a useful vessel that he has been prepared, or that he is prepared for noble purposes, he will use that vessel. God will use the one that walks with him. But he's looking especially for three qualities, three crucial qualities, and Pastor did not read my notes. Humility. Humility with an H. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. And loyalty. God is looking for loyalty. Three crucial qualities he's looking for. Humility, faithfulness, and loyalty. So he wants to work with friends who are loyal to him no matter what, even when circumstances would suggest that God is unjust. That God is cruel. That God is not on your side. He's never on our side. We're the ones who choose his side. Okay? His true friends continue to walk with him, even in the darkest of days, even in the deepest of days. The Lord will test our fidelity. He will test our faithfulness, our truthfulness, our loyalty. So when we prove that we are his friend in the greatest calamities of life, then and only then do we qualify to be useful. Useful. Maturity and depth in God, these don't come quickly. If greed is the demon of money, if lust is the demon of sex, if pride is the demon of power, then speed is the demon of death. You're wanting a deeper, greater walk with God, true holiness, true righteousness, true sanctification. Sanctifying means that the item is sanctified when it is come into its full use. A pen is not sanctified until you write with it. Glasses are not sanctified until they help you see. We are not sanctified until we are used. So if you're desiring a deeper walk to be a person of depth, you won't get there. It takes periods of being still, Be still and know that I am God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew them. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk. Teach me. Be still. If you want to be holy, as he said, be ye holy, for I am holy. You're in for the long haul. You got a long way to go. You got a long distance to dig. God is fed up, sick and tired with outward holiness. He's tired of long sleeves and skirts that meet the measurement and haircut just right and no jewelry and this and that. He's sick and tired of the superficial that we like to present. Holiness is not my cup. Holiness is not my haircut or women not cutting their hair. Holiness is so much more deeper. Holiness, people of death don't cause problems in the church. They're too deep. People of death don't have to be counseled in the sense that a person finds himself in the office. Because they're too busy pursuing God, pursuing a holiness that is so internal and soul-burning, they don't have time to get caught up in the frivolity of the world and fall into the snares. People of death don't have to be begged. They don't have to be prodded. They don't have to be begged. You don't have to plead with people of death. People with a deep walk first to show up. People of death are willing to do whatever must be done in order to make it work. Deep people. Say we it. So there's no shortcut. There's no quick way to having a deep walk with God, a deep relationship with Him. I've got something right here. Let's talk about Abraham real quick. Abraham, Genesis chapter 16. Can you pull up the very final verse, brother? Genesis 16, the very last verse. This is 16 and 16. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to him. 86. Write it down. 86. Now go to 17 and 1. 17 and 1. And when Abram was 90 years old, and 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect, or be thou blameless. From the end of chapter 16 to the very first verse of 17, 13 years. You know why? Scripture told you. 86 years old, Ishmael was born. Abraham somehow got ahead of God. He forced a situation that God never approved of. 13 years. And one day, over. Oh. Been so longing for you, for count them up. 13 years. heard from you in 13 years. Gave him that what it took for you to get there. You got ahead of me. You messed up. You tried to fabricate and create something I never promised. Now you're ready. You pursued me so hard. Now I can talk to you. And you'll listen. Go on to verse 2. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. We've got to get to a place where God is willing to make a covenant. But it only comes by going deeper. You just don't walk up to a place of covenant. If you read on as part of the covenant, go on to verse 3. Abram fell on his face. Fell on his face. And God does the talking. Verse 4. As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. We finally got all the flesh out of the way, Abram. We finally got all the foolishness, all the stupidity running ahead of me. Now it's time to listen and let me guide you. Let me have you walk with me. Let me lead thee. Let me guide you. Let me direct. Let me order your steps. Now it's time for you to be a father of many nations. Verse 5. Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. Verse 6. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Verse 7. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, and their generations, for an everlasting covenant. Deep relationships, a greater walk with God, results in an everlasting covenant. To be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. Verse 8. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Verse 9. And God said unto Abram, realize Abram hasn't said a word. He says unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generation. 10. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep. Between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. God said, you want a deeper walk with me? There's got to be some cutting away. You want a deeper walk with God? You've got to cut some things away. You've got to cut it away. Cut it away. Cut it away. True relationship. True communication. True communion. Results in you having a mark on your life. Here's the thing. Abraham's not saying a word. The crazy thing is we want God to talk to us. We want a covenant. We want that commitment, God. I want you to go before me and knock down walls and all this kind of stuff. And God says, okay, here's my covenant. Here's what I want you to do. You want me to do what? Cut what? Why? His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Even if he did tell us his reasons, we wouldn't be able to understand them anyway, so he doesn't waste his time. People of depth don't ask why. Deep people just get a knife and start talking. What God, you want me to... Oh, okay. Let's cut this away. Oh, I got to do something. I believe that true relationship results in a mark on your life. Forever the Hebrews were the circumcised people. Ask Jacob, who's walking with a limp. Why do you limp? The mark on my life. ask Moses why his skin is so weathered and leathered. Spent 40 years in the desert. Why? Deep relationship. Job, you lost everything. Why? And God blessed you. How? Deeper relationship. Paul, you survived shipwrecks. You did what? Got bit by a snake and shook it off. Preached revivals. Built churches. It came with a price. It came with a deeper relationship. When we go deeper in God, when we are determined to have an Enoch relationship, when we spend more time listening instead of speaking, more quiet time, when we are determined to get away from the noise of the world, that is when and only when we'll begin to hear God direct us in unusual ways to do unusual things. Whatever you're doing or not doing right now, the truth is at this moment, each and every one of us are as close to God as we choose to be. The choice. The choice. We choose our relationship. Luke 10, 38 through 42. Luke 10, 38 through 42. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is, Mary hath chosen you this day. Chosen good, which shall not be taken away from her. I believe here that Martha missed her opportunity for a deeper relationship with God. See, I don't think God wants us to do more for Him. He wants us to spend more time with Him. And in spending the time, we'll get the revelation of what to do. We'll get the instruction of how to do it. There is a danger of choosing activity over productivity. Activity. Look, see me. Look, I'm serving. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm active. But are you productive? It's no wonder that the Good Samaritan, the story of the Good Samaritan, precedes this message about Martha and Mary. Because when you read it, you find that two people pass by. This man has been beaten, robbed, left for dead. Two people pass by, a priest and a Levite, no doubt, quote unquote, doing the work of God. But too busy. Too busy to reach down, get dirty, to help. So they missed their opportunity to be productive for the kingdom of God because they were too busy being active and busy. Talking about a deeper walk with God, being people of depth. Let's talk about being productive or producing. I want you to ask yourself a question. Am I producing fruit? Ask yourself, verbally, ask yourself right now, am I producing fruit? What kind of fruit? I'm not talking about in the sense of soul, although that is a direction you can go. I'm talking about producing the fruit of the Spirit. Capital S. Galatians 5, 22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. If you are not producing love, if you're not producing joy, if you're not producing peace, if you have no temperance, if you have no meekness, if you cannot be long-suffering, if you are not gentle, if you're not good, you've got to ask yourself why. The answer is this. You're not connected. God is looking for a connected people, people who are closely connected to Him and remain closely connected on a daily basis. He desires a people who are connected to the vine. John 15:1, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. So what it's telling us here, if we are not abiding in Him, then we're not producing. Somewhere we become disconnected, and we will never accomplish anything if we're operating detached from the vine. Verse 5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you're useless, not useful, hell is your destination. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, the word abides in you, the word abides in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. If you want God to do something for you, you've got to abide, you've got to be plugged in. You've got to be linked up. So if you're asking for something and you're not seeing it from the past, you need to check your connection. Need to check your connection. There's much more we can read on, but I'm going to skip over for the sake of time. Going back to Galatians 5:22. So if you're not connected to the vine, then you're not bringing forth fruit. I believe that people who have a deep walk with God truly possess the fruit. And here's the thing. People can pretend. People, we are good. We are not good. We are great actors. I'm talking to myself. We can put on the presentation. We can put on the facade of being loving. We can act joyful. We can act peaceful. But eventually, your nature will deceive you. It will deny you. You can only act, you can only pretend for so long before your true nature pops up and says, that ain't who you are. Raw! It will. You can be Harry Houdini, but eventually there's going to be a chain you cannot unlock. You cannot connect to the vine. If you really want a closer walk with God, you probably need to be prepared to change some of your priorities. You can write that down. If you want a deeper walk with God, get ready. You need to change your priorities. Because God is saying, put me first. Your relationship with me needs to come first. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Matthew 6:25 goes on to say, therefore I say unto you, therefore meaning consequently, therefore meaning for that reason, because of that. He says, no man can serve two masters. Here's what's going to happen. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? You're too concerned about your next meal, or if you're too concerned about what you're going to wear, or the fashions, or what you drive, or what you live in, or where you live, you're serving the wrong. God says you can't do both. You can't have a deep relationship with me and at the same time be concerned with the superficial things of the world. You got to love one and hate the other. You despise the one and cling to the other. But you can't do both. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You got to pick a side. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve, but as for me and my who will serve them. Verse 26 says, "Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you much more than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?" You thinking about it is not doing anything about it. It's just occupying your mind, and a mind that is consumed and full of all the troubles and worries of life has no room for a deep relationship with God. "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith." You're consumed with something else. You have no faith. You have no relationship. You have no walk. "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." So quit being concerned with the pettiness of life and pay attention to verse 33 that says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Pastor already touched on it. Commit your way unto him, who gives you the desires of your heart. But Abraham, don't get ahead of God. I know you want a boy. Don't rush it. Don't skip to the end. "Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of this day. Sufficient is the day the evil thereof." Priorities. Priorities. We need to ask ourselves, what are my hands reaching for? What are my eyes looking to? What am I pursuing? What is it that I cannot wait to do? Deer that pants for the brook, the water. Tell my soul, pants for the brook. What are we pursuing? I'm about to wrap up here. Our distracted minds and hearts prevent us from experiencing His true presence. Our spiritual connection with Him is limited because of our need to feed ourselves. We seek God to supplement and improve our lives, not understanding that putting God first in everything is really what we need. When we follow His steps, He brings us closer to Him. And what we fail to realize, though, is we are the ones who stop ourselves. We're the ones who prevent ourselves. We're the ones who throw up the roadblock sign. We're the ones who can't get the cart out of the middle of the road. So we've got to put God first in everything. When we follow His steps, He brings us closer to Him. Scripture says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The steps of a righteous man, they're ordered by the Lord." So we're the ones who stop ourselves from fully experiencing God. And when our main concern is for our own well-being, then it takes us down paths leading away from Him that we never should have traveled. We're unable to graduate from ourselves. You can be so consumed with yourself that you can never separate from you or this life that you're building. Graduate meaning get above and look down and say, okay, what is God's true plan for my life? Is it my plan or is it God's plan? Even the most faithful of Christians can lose sight of God when we're too busy with our earthly habits. Most of us are faithful in our duties to God. We go to church. We attend. We do all these things that are check marks on a chalkboard for us. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we're walking with God. It doesn't mean that we're walking with God at all. It just means that we're doing what we're supposed to do. We're meeting the basic necessities of a relationship with God. It's two spouses doing the chores around the house but having no level of intimacy. But a deeper relationship with God. So we determine how close we are to God. Unfortunately, sometimes we lag behind and follow the steps. He's desiring somebody to walk with him. Walk with him. Enoch walked with God. He wants, when you're walking with God, he it's not just to pass the time, but he's wanting to point things out along the way. He's wanting to give you instruction, to observe some things. Take a step back sometimes and look at something different. Something in the Word that he wants to point out. Something in the Word that will help you in your present situation. Something in the Word to help you in your tomorrow. Deep spirituality requires fellowship and conversation with God and a desire to investigate earth. Deep spirituality and connection with God requires even more from us. God wants more from you. He wants more from me. And so being spiritual is so much more than just going through the motions. An adventure. It should be a journey. It requires a spiritual hunger for God's consciousness, for His Spirit, to seek godly wisdom and godly understanding for His thoughts, for His purposes, for His promises, for His ways. So if you will, I want you to write these things down. There's a few simple things that we need to do, some things we need to seek in our desire to draw closer to Him. Number one, we need to desire to be the eyes of God so that we can see what He sees. We need to be the ears of God so that we can hear what He hears. We need to be the mind of God so that we can think as He thinks. We need to be the heart of God so that we can feel what He feels. Last but not least, we need to be the hands of God so that we can do. Be the eyes of God to see what He sees. Be the ears of God to hear what He hears. Be the mind of God to think as He thinks. Be the heart of God to feel what He feels. And to be the hands of God to do His best. I'm going to bring this lesson to a close with something I want to read from John Piper's book, A Hunger for God, Desiring God Through Fasting and Prayer. John writes this: when you take your stand on the finished work of God in Christ and begin to drink at the river of life and eat the bread of heaven, and know that you have found the end of all your longings, you only get hungrier. The more satisfaction you experience from God while still in this world, the greater your desire for the next. For as C.S. Lewis said, our best havings are wantings. Oh, if we could have just an experience of glory in heaven in this place. What he's saying is that we create or manufacture in us a greater wanting and more glory. He writes, the more deeply you walk with Christ, the hungrier you get for Christ. The more homesick you get for heaven. The more you want all the fullness of God. The more you want to be done with sin. The more you want the bridegroom to come again. The more you want the church revived and purified with the beauty of Jesus. The more you want a great awakening of God's reality in the city that you live. The more you want to see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ penetrate the darkness of all the unreached people in the world. The more you want to see false world views yield to the force of truth. The more you want to see pain relieved and tears wiped away and death destroyed. Oh, you long for every wrong to be made right, and the justice and grace of God to fill the earth like waters cover the sea. If you don't feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it is not because you have drunk deeply and are satisfied. No. It's because you have nibbled so long at the table of the world that your soul is stuffed with small things. And there is no room for the greatness of God. God did not create you for this. There is an appetite for God, and it can be awakened. When you desire a deeper relationship with God. We could somehow make a commitment to you to get rid of all the clutter, the trash, the filth of this world. If we could unplug from what we think is relevant and plug in to what is truly relevant, we could somehow desire like Enoch. As Abraham learned, as Martha found out, there's a greater love. There's a deeper relationship with God. There's a depth we've never known, height we've never seen or experienced. How much do you want to go? How far do you want to go? Are you through pursuing? Am I through pursuing life as I know it so that I can experience life? I could but lay aside every weight that doth so easily beset me. And begin to shake off all the filth of this world and begin to dig deeper and deeper and deeper until I pursue God so heartily that I find Him, that I find myself closer to glory and further from the world. Can I get to that place? Can I get to that place? There's a deeper walk waiting at this altar tonight. Don't think it would hurt for us to spend a few minutes. We don't need songs. We don't need music. What we need is a passion like Enoch, a hunger like Abraham. I want to be a people of depth. I want to reach the depths of the unknown of the goodness of God until I explore revival and a renewing like never before. I don't want to sit in church 52 weeks out of the year and still go to hell because I thought I was doing what was required. Oh, but God, I want more. I want more. Just to be close to You. It's my desire. Just to go deeper in Your Word. To go deeper in You. Oh, God, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my flesh. Oh, forgive me of my carnality. I want to bear true, real fruit of the Spirit. I want a true faithfulness.